Some of you may be aware that Eston College has been in a search for a presidential candidate for the college there. What you may not know is that their search has found its way into our company. And so I'm just going to be sharing some of that today. As far as I know, almost 12 years, I think, Brian Fuller has been on their radar as someone that they would like to consider coming as president at the Bible school. And Brian has been approached, and they have offered that position to him, and he has agonizingly looked at that and considered that. And I have the unenviable task of announcing that Brian has accepted a position as president of the Eston College. So we just want to share that with you and kind of handle it a little bit together as a family. I personally, I'm not bragging or whatever, but I feel this, the weight and the sting of this is almost as much as most people here. Like I said, it's an announcement I make. We're excited for Brian and excited for the college, but one of those things where you're stinging a little bit inside. And Roger Halverson had said to me today, this is one of those moments where we have to respect the leading of the Lord, even though we may not like it that much. And so that's kind of where I'm at, and I don't know if that's all where you're at or not, but we have had a fair amount of history, even though we're not in that circle and it's not our college or anything, but we have had a history of involvement in the school there. I know several staff and elders and members of the church have been a part there, and we were quickly looking at a count of how many people even were involved and met their wives there. It used to be Full Gospel Bible Institute or Fully Guaranteed Bridal Institute. They don't carry that guarantee any longer. But I don't know if Brian's going to pick up that torch. Anyways, so that's a little bit of what's going on there. So I just wanted to share a little bit. I guess as I've looked at it and had to look at it with my own eyes and from my own situation, I started to look and see that, yeah, it makes sense. I can see God's hand at work in preparing Brian and bringing him to this place of going to the college there. The school is in a need for someone who's going to be able to take them on the next step of their journey. The school is facing some challenges, and they need a specific person. And as I look more and more at it, Brian fits that bill. I don't know if many of you know, but he has a master's in academic administration or educational administration. Within the ACOP, that's the Fellowship of Churches that is the constituency of FGBI. Brian Fuller, I told them in the morning service I wasn't going to say rock star, but I'd say it in this. He's a rock star. he hasn't been in the circles for a long time, but when you hear that name, you realize, oh yeah, that's, people know the integrity, the love, the fruit that has come out of Brian's ministry. I had the privilege of being one of his youth, and he has been an integral part of who I have become in Christ. I wouldn't be up here today, I'm sure, if God hadn't used Brian Fuller in my life. And so that's an important part of what they were needing. There's several things that just line up and make sense for it to be Brian. It hurts because I can line up and see how much he makes sense here in my life and in our church life. But as I said, we need to respect what God's doing and where Brian is being led. And so, as we deal with the pain ourselves, we need to do it in a godly way and in a family way, in a way that we can support Brian 100% and say, Brian, we love you and we know you love us, and we want to be a part of that. And he's asked that we would send him, that we would be a part of extending him, that he's not just saying, well, thanks, it's been good, see you later, but it's him, he's an extension of us, and we're an extension of him, and we're in this together, and we want to be behind him and show him that and show the school that and just remind ourselves that he is family and we love him. So yeah, I would just encourage you to take a look at how you're going to handle that and be aware that there's a hole that's going to be filled or need filling in one way or another when Brian leaves. And so I would encourage you that as we go through this, as our loss is Eston's gain, we gotta seek the Lord and say, okay, God, well, now where do you have next? So it was, a little over a year ago, Todd and I had gone down to talk to Brian in California. We're in a sense back in that stage of saying, okay, God, well, what's next? And so I would greatly encourage you, please, be in prayer. Pray for Pastor Todd. He's got a lot of stuff on his plate, and this is just one more iron in the fire. And so I'm asking you, please support him with your prayers and support him with your support. Like, come and offer, say, Todd, is there something we can do? You know, we all know, those of you know Brian, and the way he is, that's most of you. His heart is that he would know Christ and that other people would know Christ and that people would be discipled and that people would walk together and love together and encourage one another and do Christianity the way that the Bible lays it out, not just a nominal way that kind of fits into our society. So I would encourage you to figure out, well, how can I do that now? How can I carry that on? What is my part? What is my role? How can I be a Brian Fuller wherever I am within the church? So, yeah, my encouragement to you is be aware that what's going on, but please be on board and be a part of supporting him and sending them off. And I'll, for me, with Brian being here, he's been able to raise the bar in my life. In my walk with Christ, in the way that I minister, whatever that is, he's raised that bar, and I'm so glad that that's happened. And ultimately, I look at it, it's God has raised the bar in my life through Brian, and now I'm encouraging you. How do we figure out how to keep that bar raised up in our lives and continue to strive for excellence and to be the ministers and be the church that God has invited us to be? So. Having said all that, I think it's probably better to hear it from the man himself. So I'm going to invite Brian to come on up and kind of share his heart and where he's at. And just let him know we love you.
Good morning, folks. And, I will try to make eye contact as bad as my eyes are. Deneen, I can see you smiling. So I do want to do that because I have grown very close to many, many of you in here, and I love you very much. I would like to borrow from Paul, if I could, in Philippians. And let me take some liberty with his text. To all the saints in Christ at the River of Life, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And it is an honor to stand before you all. I stand in the presence of some wonderful men and women of God, and that is very humbling. I have written you a letter, and I would like to read it. And when you read a letter, it's not always as maybe dynamic as if you were just preaching, but forgive me. Dearest church family, a number of months ago, I was contacted by Eston College and asked to serve as their new president. My initial thought was that I had just recently arrived in Lethbridge and was not sensing the call to a new place. There were, however, some folks with strong ties to the college who strongly believed that I could play a role in providing some new direction, and they asked me to consider submission to the interview process. A few days after all the candidates were interviewed, I was notified that I had been chosen. Although I had been in prayer about this opportunity, I began to spend even more time asking God what He wanted me to do. I shared my challenge with Todd, who not only made this a matter of prayer, but he also encouraged me to clearly hear from the Lord. A few weeks later, I felt it necessary to make a decision, and although it truly has been very difficult, I have accepted the call to the college. My wife and I both attended the college, and we have history with the ASOP fellowship that is tied to that college. And further, as Gary said, my educational background is in the academic realm. And you have a wonderful leadership team here, and while they accepted my resignation with regrets, they've been wonderful. I am at peace knowing that I'm not simply leaving, but as Gary said, I am being sent. Going is a lot easier knowing that Eston is only about 400 kilometers away, and such proximity will allow my family to stay connected to all of you at the River of Life, who we have grown to know and love. And although miles physically do separate us, prayer will continue to keep us united in purpose and spirit. And so I would ask that you would remember us in prayer. While I have not been here a long time, it has been a truly rewarding time, and one that has brought us closer to Christ. And although I don't know everyone yet, I know most of you, and you have had a remarkable influence on myself and my wife and my kids, and I thank you for that. Leaving California and coming to Lethbridge has radically altered how we do Christianity. And I would like to elaborate on that just for a few moments. In my late 20s, and that was many years ago, when I first came to know Christ, I read the Bible and believed that it could be lived out. And then my journey to climb the ladder and to accumulate more stuff started to unfold. I went from one ministry to another, and each time I did, I was given a raise and finally moved to California where the opportunities there are abundant. They're really, if you have a decent education, there's no amount to how high you can climb and how much money you can make. But this is the problem, and this was the problem for Shelley and I. We soon discovered that embracing the American dream or trying to wed the American dream to Christianity doesn't really quite work as well as we'd like it to work. In our pursuit to acquire and accumulate and to climb, we discovered we had pushed out our intimacy with Christ. Not backslidden, just we weren't passionate about Christ like we could be. We were involved in ministry and we were involved in missions, but when we looked at our lives against Scripture, they didn't look like the way they should. And so my challenge to you is, would you please do the same? Look at your life against the Word of God and then ask yourself the simple question, is this how God wants me to live? I can't answer that for you, but you know what? God will not keep it a mystery from you. So a few months ago, Todd and Gary came down and asked if I would come on staff, and that was a radical departure from the direction we were moving in our lives. I was in administration in the Kern High School district, and I was moving up, and my wife was a registered nurse, and she could move up. And those are lucrative positions. But like I say, when they came, I said, a backward step, Lord, in terms of finances, in terms of, say, upward mobility. But I got here and I discovered it was a great step in terms of intimacy with Christ and growing in Christ. And you have all been contributors to my journey, and I appreciate it. And then when Eston called and the salary was even less, I thought, oh Lord, where are we going with this? I've not been real comfortable with the idea of poverty. And the house in Eston that it seems like we will be moving in has mice. So, it has taken us quite a ways from where we thought we would be going. In the River of Life and in Lethbridge, we have been able to be intentional. And I want to explain that term because I know you will hear it over and over again. And it's very important to me. It's not a biblical word, so to speak, but I want you to hear it anyway. Because what I mean by intentional is that we have been able to come together in our home and in our gatherings as friends. And we have celebrated the goodness of Christ. I think you would be hard-pressed to find a gathering that we came to where we didn't spend time in prayer or singing. It's really not what you call what I do, but I like to think it is singing. And especially in prayer. So we have worshiped. Together we have studied God's Word. And again, to reiterate, we have prayed. And it just doesn't get any better than this. This move is made easier knowing that this body, this here body, is filled with talented and skilled folks who are passionate about Christ. In fact, I have been able to furnish Todd with a list of names who I believe will faithfully and diligently do what I have been doing. And many of your names are on that list. I know that God has called you and gifted you, and I know that you will serve Christ well. And if you're new to this church, you will soon discover that this body is about excellent teaching, and it will challenge you to draw near to Christ. It is about mission. It is about mission in Lethbridge. It is about mission in Canada. And is it about mission overseas? It's about discipleship. What's that? Well, that is people who love Christ, taking those who are new to Christ and helping them grow in their love for the Lord and in their dedication to the Lord. And then they, in turn, doing the very same thing. This church is about healthy community, and you experience it when you come in here all the time. You care for each other, you shake one another's hands, you hug one another. It's about ministering to people in need. And there are many. There are many needs. It's about commitment to the Word of God. And I just want to take a brief pause here. It's about commitment to the Word of God. We live in a very, very, very busy society. And that busyness sometimes distracts us from the most important thing in our life. And that is sitting at the feet of Christ and knowing Him and worshiping Him, hearing Him and serving Him. We can get so busy that the day will go by and we've not spent any time with Him. And soon that can become a habit, and it's a very dangerous habit. So my encouragement to you is that if that is a problem that you experience later today and tomorrow, make sure that you take enough time to know that you've been in His presence and that you've heard from Him. This church is about total life worship. It's not just about singing a chorus or two. It is about worshiping Christ in how you think, in your conversations. It's about worshiping Him with your gifts and your talents and your resources, with all that you are. And this church is about the glorification of our God in everything that is done. So if you are new to this church, let me say this. Welcome to the body of Christ as it was meant to be. On behalf of my wife Shelley and my two children, Katie and Josh, I want to thank you so much for making this part of our journey so rewarding and fulfilling. And before I turn this over to Todd, I just want to read to you something. This is not meant to be something that pulls us down. In fact, if I could encourage you, I would rather that you celebrate this occasion. And so here is a word from the Lord to you all. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I love you, and God bless you all.
I've been trying to get him up behind this pulpit for 9 months. To his protests of, no, I don't like speaking in front of people, that was pretty good. And so he shows us the goods at his farewell. Brian, thank you for sharing so deeply. There's a message from God in everything if you're willing to hear it. And there's certainly some very, very striking ones in the things that you just shared, because the one thing about community is our lives get intertwined and our one story, person story is another's. So God calling a man that's on this upward trajectory and saying, you've lost intimacy with Christ in the middle of all this and you're ministering and you're caring for people, but you've lost something central. And calling him away from all that. And some of the steps now, even yet again. Wow, don't tell me there's not a message in that for all of us. Some of you might even be scared of that message this morning. You may think, what are the implications for me? If I was to take seriously that message, you too might have to live in a rat-infested house. mouse-infested house. Sorry, Shelley, there's no rats. In Saskatchewan, the whole of the province, there's not a rat. Though there has been an infiltration of moose in Saskatchewan. I'm not joking. I actually saw a moose last time, and some of the people in Eston told me they're having a hard time keeping the moose out of the garden. So moose, mice, I think it's preferable, but... I have long believed that the Lord has been sending people here. I have long believed that of the people that he have sends us, we have a very, very high percentage of leader-like people, people with leadership giftings. And I've long believed that not all of those would we keep for all that long, but that numbers of the people that we would act as a springboard into their calling and into God's destiny on their lives, that we would have them for a while, hope that we would help in their healing, their encouragement, their equipping, their training, and then their sending. I just didn't think it meant him. It's like, Lord, my right-hand guy, or one of them. But we're not allowed to make those differentiations. Once you take seriously and say, we'll be a sending center, then it's his prerogative who he'll send. And we follow along. It's not been an especially easy process. I'd like to tell you I haven't shed a few tears over this. But I have valued even that, because the process of working this out for us in 6 weeks, before even our elders know about it, because until he had a decision, I didn't want him rustling the nest. And but that process has produced quite a closeness between us. And so about the night or two before he decided, I said to Sherry, nah, he won't go. We're like this. He won't go. And the next day he sits down and says, we're a sending church, aren't we, Todd? And told me that he had agreed to go. And I feel it's right. I really do feel it's right to give a really 100% support when God calls someone to do something. I of all people, because those 10 years almost to this week, that I was on the other side of this very decision. The Bible school that he is being invited to be president of, I was the president of it up to 10 years ago. And it was humming along quite nicely. I had spent a night on a mountain in prayer. It wasn't in Saskatchewan. I was visiting BC, and I felt called to run up this mountain and spend the night on prayer with a friend. I wasn't praying about the Bible school or myself or future. I was praying for revival. I was just one of those kind of frothing at the mouth revivalists. And when I came down off the mountain, I felt the Lord speak to my heart that I need to resign from the Bible school. And there was nothing wrong. Didn't seem to make sense at the time. And no longer be its president. And so I've been on this very process. In fact, the very post. And I remember how much it would mean when a little bit of support would come my way in that tough decision. And I remember how hard it was when that was withheld. And so now, 10 years later, this whole thing seems a bit like deja vu almost. And now I got to send one of the guys right back into the very place I left, the very role. I don't know what it was with us in Bible school. Bill Calderwood was also invited at one point to be president. I think Charlie will probably want to be after Brian's done with the place. Charlie, I'll put your name for it. And so I don't know what it is with us in Bible college teaching. But as I said, I do feel it's really right to give him every support. So now it leaves us thinking questions like, where do we go from here? What are we to think? What are we to do? Those are all good questions. But I think at this time, we want to be careful not to be trivial in how we think of the future. If God's voice is meant to be heard in this, what's he saying? And there's probably all kinds of hugely significant things for Brian and Shelley and hugely significant things for us. And so you want to be careful not to trivialize that. Yes, we're going to need a replacement, but somehow in my heart, I feel like that's probably not the first question we should be asking. How do we replace Brian? There's much more profound and to the point questions like, what is God expecting of every one of us? We're a church. And we're not a church that's run by a handful of few professionals and the rest of us sit back and watch it all happen. We are a community that are given to a mission and we are given to a vision and we are pursuing it together. And every one of us are asking about what Christ expects of us. And so if you're here and have come from a different journey and you haven't come from a church where we think like that, then please get used to it because we think that here. We think that the ministry of Jesus rests on the shoulders of all God's people. All God's people. And we actually take that seriously. So the amount of people in our church that are involved in ministry and leadership, whether it's in-house or out-house or running a business, not out-house, as I point to Nathan, sorry. Slip of the tongue. You know what I mean. Running a business to Christ's glory, you're pastoring your staff, whatever it is, the amount of people that are just bought into the cause of Christ and we're doing that together, or at least the people that are just adamantly seeking to find that men's ministry. If I look around, all the people, the percentage here is exceedingly high. We are not a 10% of church, 90% people watch them do things. That we don't run like that, and we never will. Ever. So I think, yes, we're going to have to crush the question about replacement. It's not the first question. The first question is, Lord, what are you saying in this? And what are you saying to me? And what are you saying? What is he saying to you? And how do all of us rise in that? As I've thought about this morning, I can't help but feeling that I think many people in our congregation are kind of like a race car, and you're just a little afraid to take it out of second gear. You're a little afraid like maybe you might be scared if you find everything that's in you. You may find stuff that's hidden inside of you and you're a little scared of tapping that. And if you're to like to shift it up out of some kind of conservative gear, then you may spin the wheels a little bit, and that could be a little bit scary, and Christ may make ask things of you that you may not be ready to do or not think you're ready to do. But he wouldn't ask them of you. Sorry, this thing is all over. for my face. I never liked these in the first place. So what might he ask of you? What does life look like for you if you say, Lord, I've been operating in second gear and I got like a five car kind of gear sports car and I need to pop it up a level here. What does that look like for you? I need to take the kingdom of God more seriously. I need to take the gospel more seriously. I need to take my own call more seriously. I need to abandon myself to God's call on my life more thoroughly. God's calling me to reach people and me to tell people. And I've been getting coached lots. I've got to go run with the ball now. Come on, coach, put me in the game. Give me that ball. What might that look like for you? And I think if we're asked that kind of question, now we're asking the right question. And yeah, and then in time the Lord definitely will send us coach type leaders who will help us to do that. But until we answer that question, what's the Lord asking of all of his people? What's he asking of all of our hearts? How have we been holding back? And is this a time to pull out the stops and go, okay, here I am. I'm going to be everything you've called me to be and do everything you've called me to do. I'm not going to hold back. I've had lots of training. I just got to go do something with what I know now. And I'll get training as I go. But I actually have been a Christian for 20 years. I think I can do something with that. And I think if we think of it that way, then we're asking, let's say, closer to the right questions. Briefly, I just want to turn you to the book of Acts chapter 6. I'm not going to preach a message. But this is a passage which just sheds a lot of light on situations like ours. And so at times like this, when we're saying, what's the Lord saying into our situation? What a better place to find out what God is saying than God's holy word. How is he going to find out what God is saying? Guess what? This is what he speaks through. Acts chapter 6, I've asked the multimedia if they had kindly put that up. So let's take a look at this together as a church family, because I think that what's happening in these verses is very parallel to what is happening in our church family. It says, in those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, so there, this is church growth. God is moving. The number of disciples is increasing. So there's a lot to do in this, in the early church. And we prayed for, from the inception of our church, make us a church like unto the first century church, like the early church. And so if you take that seriously, God will do that. So this is happening right in our midst. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So there's a lot to do and there's a lot of balls to juggle and they're dropping some of them. There's some bases that they're covering really well, and there's some bases that they're not yet covering really well. So what's the answer to that? So the 12 disciples gathered everybody around and said, stand back, we're already got our plates full, we'll do this too. After all, we are the superstars. No, that's not in there. So the 12 disciples said, this is what we've been trained to do. Jesus took us and trained us and then told us to do it, and now we're going to do that with you. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together, the committed ones. There was always the disciples and the crowd in Jesus' life. There's always a crowd that's around wanting free food. Disciples are disciplined followers of Jesus. They're disciplined in their mind. They're disciplined in their time. They're disciplined in their life patterns. They're disciplined in their priorities. You can hear it in the root word, disciple and discipline. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together, the people that get it. And said, it wouldn't be right for us to neglect our calling. Our plates are already full. And besides, that's not what this is about. It's not right for us to neglect what God has asked us to do. Next slide. So here's a better answer. Choose 7 people from among you. From among you. They're having an in-family talk, an in-house talk. Choose 7 people from among you who are known, their good reputation. You know them. So in other words, they've been part of your community, allowed themselves to be known, That's why we've said to people, you see it on our website, know and be known. Like, so that people know you and trust you and know the great things that are in you. If you don't let yourself be known, how are you ever going to be amongst this group? So choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit. And they're known to be wise people. We will turn this responsibility over to them. Who do you give responsibility to? Responsible people. In other words, choose 7 responsible people who've shown themselves to be responsible. And we will totally turn this responsibility over to them. If you give responsibility away, you give leadership away, you invite people to mission and then help them understand how to engage with that and then give them responsibility. We want to give you responsibility over them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word, because that was their responsibility. This proposal pleased the whole group. In other words, everybody said, good, that's the way we like to operate. That's what the early church said. This pleased everybody. So they chose all kinds of interesting figures. Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Everybody knew that guy's just full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. The whole community thought that about this guy. He's a great A. And also Philip. There's other names. But of course, Stephen and Philip, this was just their entrance point into serving Christ in a more serious way. If you read Acts, after Acts 7, read Acts 9, these guys end up being revivalists. One of them won an entire city to Christ. But if you ask them, where did you start? Well, our church was growing so much, we couldn't cover all the bases, so the apostles said, hey, we need people to rise up from within. And I said, I'll do something. And I did it so well that the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. And then he made me a revivalist and sent me, and I just saw a whole city come to Christ. But where'd you start? Yeah, I started right there. I had to say yes to something. And he said yes in Acts chapter 6. But Stephen and Philip became just like heroes in the local church and the early church and went on from this place. Next slide, please. Last slide. So they presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. That, you know what laying hands on means? A lot. But part of it means, I have confidence in you. And I'm doing it in public because I want everybody to see that. I trust you. I'm giving something over to you. Okay? So, and then there's this word, so. Seems like such a small word, but it actually means so much. So, in other words, what's the consequence of this? A growing church that's willing to have people rise up from within and take stuff on board in the area of all kinds of this is actually outreach. This wasn't even in the doors of the church. So, and make people responsible people, give responsibility to them in one way or another. What's the result of that? What's the consequence? So, the word of God spread. And the number of disciples increased rapidly. God breathed on that recipe. God blessed that. That was God doing something in God's way. God loved that. And he breathed on it. And you think they were in church growth before this time? Afterwards, the word rapidly was not used before this time. Now, something actually accelerates. And their influence is even given a larger sphere. On the other side of this, and it says, and a large number of priests, Jewish priests, became obedient to the faith. It's not just like they were just drawing a crowd. They were making an incredible quality of disciples. People were becoming obedient to the faith. And I think we're just at one of these junctures. Large number of disciples are increasing. And the increase in numbers requires an increase in people. It requires an increase in ministries and ministers, wherever that would be found. It requires an increase of people from within us to stand up and take their place, to take your place in what God is doing. And I just feel like this next year, it looks a bit like this last verse. The number of disciples increased rapidly. We, as a church family, we have a lot ahead for us next year. I think as an eldership, we really feel it. And numbers of you in our congregation have given me dreams. And some of you had visions and prophetic words. And all of them seem to say the same thing. At the start of this year, even I just felt like as it turned into January, the Lord even just spoke to my heart and says, your leaders, like especially your young leaders, you're going to have to, you need to increase your efforts to them. You've got to get them ready. There's a timetable and you're getting closer. So I've made it one of the number one things on my whole plate. So that when we get to what God has for us, whatever that looks like, but it's always going to be reaching people, that we are actually ready for that. That's what I have to say. You ready? Ready there, guys? Ready, Willie? I look out at you. Ready to take your place? Ready, buddy? Janet? Brett? Alan? Ready to take your place? I see you avoiding eye contact with me. I'll stare you down. I can see you, don't look at me. Mm-hmm. But if we all do it together, and we give each other a ton of support in it, I think we can do this thing. Do you know what brought us together? It's one of the glues that holds us together, is that we wanted to see Christianity, like Brian said, as God intended it, and church as God intended it. So the closer we get there, don't get freaked out. Do you know, when I was at the Bible school, I've hardly everybody told anybody this, but when I was saying, Lord, why'd you call me to go? And I lost everything in that move. I didn't go on to something. I lost my wage. I lost everything. I lost house. Talk about reaching out to the poor. I was the poor. But one of the things, when I was asking the Lord to help me understand, one of the things he said was, you just spent a whole year challenging students. Give your whole life and abandon yourself. And what might, and he said, so I thought I'd ask you to go first. Because that's what leaders do. You don't have to be perfect. You just go first and see what happens. Oh, okay. And so he just spent a whole year talking to numbers of you, 9 months talking about different things. And if the Lord said, okay, Brian, you seem to really mean what you say, go first. What about you? Are you being true to your life message? The things that you most deeply believe about Christianity and how much Christ is worth and your potential, are you being true to your life message? Because God's going to say to you, okay, go first. Be your life message. Don't just preach it, be it. Go first. Step out. And there's all kinds of fun in that. Not just particularly this morning, but I think some of you who have failed to do that, you're just suffering a plight of spiritual boredom. Especially men here. Nothing worse in all the world than just being a bored Christian. But if you step out and obey and do what he's calling you to do, I don't think there's going to be a lot of boredom in that. You could have mice in your house. Hey? Up all night. There'd be nothing boring about it. California was just a little too plush there. I was there. I visited them. Boring. Too much money. Ugh. Just like, what eventful ever happens? Or what's the movie of that Jim Carrey where he's in that pseudo artificial world, but he's really he doesn't understand that he's the centerpiece of a movie, of a The Truman Show. It was like visiting the Truman Show. It was too perfect. That's not Christianity. All everything's predictable and everything's staged, and then for everything gets boring. I think if you look at the book of Acts, there's probably a lot of words that you would use to describe the early church. Boredom's probably not one of them. Hallelujah. Lord, get us ready. I'd like you to pray with me just for a moment, and then I want to introduce a very dear friend. Our Father in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name. Please help us see rightly. Help us to hear the voice of the Lord in this set of circumstances. And help us to hear the voice of the Lord for me, for each one of us. Lord, we think of the Old Testament prophet. He said, What, O man, might the Lord require of thee? What might you require of us? I just want to just give you a moment in silence just to listen. Prepare. Ask yourself, what gear am I in? Am I holding back? Waiting for the wind to blow perfect? Waiting until I know everything? Just as we pray now, I just want to send out a call. It's not for those, I want to respect the people who are new here, and you're getting healed up a bit from your last chapter of life. And you haven't yet decided whether this is where the Lord wants you or whether you're going to buy in. I respect that, Lions. My message is for those that have been here for some time. And you got real roots. Even if you've only been here for a year or two, you got real roots. You get the vision. You're part of it. What might the Lord be saying to you? If you were to let the stops out, what would that look like? Didn't say, Lord, I got more to learn, but I can't keep longer saying, I just need more training. I need to know more. I know a lot, so I just got to do something with it. You could be trainers by now. Like Hebrews says, you could be teachers by now. And you're still wanting someone to instruct you. And Lord, if you would guide our body, you are our senior pastor. You are the head of our church. And we invite you to guide us into the next phases of our journey. A phase, Lord, where I pray that you would surprise even us at what you could do with a church that is abandoned to your call. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I know time is ticking on, but very briefly, I'd like to invite just introduce you to a friend. Jeff, can I get you to come here for me, please? Yeah. This is quite a guy. 17 years ago, Jeff and I were on a team in the Philippines, and we met this man. And just doing a whole lot of stuff, mind-boggling really, even at the time, in the Philippines, big tent missions and bringing so many people to faith and discipling so many people, a team. And we went back to the Philippines a number of months ago. Alan Woodruff and Ryan and Ellen Mills and who else was on that team? Myself. And we went back to visit two ministries in the Philippines who were just doing a great job. And of which Jeff Pacina, my friend, was one of them. And to reconnect with him after all these years and find out that our journey is actually a little bit the same, and some of the things, conclusions we've come to and things we've realized and the shape of things was just so similar. And just what a highlight to see the church there and to see children's homes and children that they work with, children who live on garbage dumps and feed them and take them and put them in homes. It was one of the highlights of my whole time there, being with children that had been snatched off garbage dumps and now were put in homes and they're loving and healing. And you'll see a picture in my office of that was taken that day. And we were commissioned to go by our elders to consider these two ministries, these people as friends, and to say what might, if we were to see whether there might be ties with them for the future. And there will be. So you'll be hearing a lot more, but I want you to meet Jeff, and you want to say something?
It's great to be here today, and it's great to see and to hear what the Lord is doing. I just feel in my heart to say that if you don't want to take over the world, you should probably leave now while you still have time. I believe that the day is coming when, as the book of Revelation says, that one day we're going to be able to rejoice with Christ and say that the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of the Lord and of his Christ. Amen. And I think that I think it's wonderful for all of us to feel the impact of knowing that we actually have a job to do and that we have a mission to undertake. And so I'm really, really inspired this morning again to reconnect with Todd and those of you that are being blessed under his administration and leadership. Brian, I think if you've done your job, which I believe you have, I don't think that the church is going to suffer from your, I think that they're going to feel your loss, but I think that if you think about the ministry of Jesus, he was only with us for 3 years and he changed the world. And so Esten might only have you for 6 months. I don't know how the Lord's going to run that with you, but you know, it's not really how much time you've had in a place, but what you've done while you were there. And so I think if you've left good men behind, which it looks like you are, and I think Todd will be blessed for that. But I'm very blessed also to be in the Philippines. I left when I was 20 years old. I climbed the corporate ladder of drugs and drinking until I was 20, and I got tired of all that all of that provided for me and afforded me. And so when I was 20 years old, I hit the end of my rope and said, that's enough, and gave my life to Christ. And when I did, the Lord just really, really did some deep work, a very quick work in my heart, and told me to leave. 5 weeks later, I was on the mission field. And I'm still on what I consider a short-term mission trip. I've been out there for 28 years, and my mission trip will be done when the Lord gets back. And I believe that that's when we will retire. Amen? So I just really challenge you and encourage you today. Many of you might be, as Todd was challenging you, that you're waiting. I've heard for many, many years people say that they're waiting, still waiting on the Lord. Well, I would ask you today, are you waiting actively or passively? I've told people all over the world, many times have I gone around through churches and seen people still waiting on God. I've said, so that's fine, you can wait, but while you're waiting, why don't you come to the Philippines and work with us? Or you can wait there. And while you're waiting, we'll give you some really cool things to do. And so I challenge those of you that are waiting, don't wait too long. Get involved. Step up, step forward, raise your hand and realize that as a part of the body of Christ, you're a part of something. It's really wonderful that God intends the church to influence the city, to influence the nation, and to influence the whole world. And that's something that's at the very heart of God. And so I just really appreciate everything that I see happening here. It was really great to connect with Todd again. One of my memories of Todd and his wife and a team was when they came over to the Philippines and they went down to the island of Catanduanes. They stopped by our place on the way down there. On the way back, they were nearly starving to death because they were eating fish heads and rice for about 5 days or 6 days. And I never cooked so many ham and egg sandwiches in my life. I offered Todd a ham and egg sandwich and his eyes lit up like light bulbs. And so he called the whole team and I cooked about 20 ham and egg sandwiches. I don't know if they even remember it, but I remember it. And it was quite an experience, but my heart really connected with Todd, and I've really been blessed to watch and see what the Lord is doing in his life and with his wife. So I think you've got a good leader. I think you've got a good vision here, a good passion, and it's my hope that the front line, which is our ministry in the Philippines, we've been blessed. I don't think that we've done so great, but we have reached millions of people with the gospel. We have traveled all over that nation. I live in a trailer. My daughter is here. Is Rodel in here? Could you please stand? This is my oldest daughter. She was born on the mission field. I have four children and one adopted, and we lived in a trailer that was 7 feet by 21 feet. The Lord took me, when I was 20, I sold everything and quit my job, went out of the mission field, and I lived in a tent for 5 years. So I consider myself upgraded when I went into a trailer. And now we upgraded again to a trailer that's 8 by 28 feet, and currently we're actually building a house. So I'm not sure if I'm even a missionary anymore, but Todd's been encouraging me that I am. He said, Jeff, God wants to give you a house, and that's a good thing. So anyway, it's really a blessing to connect with you guys, and I believe that in the future, Frontline, I believe we would like to stay connected with Todd and with all of you, and we're really determined to pursue leadership development and raising up and sending out leaders. And you can't just give lip service to it as you're finding now. You gotta send them and let them go. God will bless you for that. So thank you. And I hope that if you want to find out more about Frontline, I do have some pamphlets with me. I've only got about 30 of them. It kind of gives an overview of our ministry. I'd love for you to have one if you're interested. And I know that some of you here know me. My wife and I and family have traveled around Canada many times. We love Canada. And my children and wife have always loved Canada more than my country. So, I mean, I love my country too, but we've enjoyed Canada a lot. So, anyway, God bless you and thank you for your time. And we hope that one day we might see some of you also in the Philippines on some of these teams. God bless you.
So we have a team coming home. Is it tomorrow? So you'll hear from them. They've just been visiting these two. Alan Mills is just in the early stages of planning a team. So a number of you would love for you to go with him. And then just one last thing. You know, the guy's been living in a tent and then a trailer 7 foot wide for 28 years. When I went to see what they were doing, I was just like, they're just laying the foundation. Said, God wants you to have a house. You know, they've been known as a very sacrificial ministry who have lived very, very meanly and just given everything away. And so I want to just lay a bit of a call for you today. I would love it if this guy could receive some money to finish this house. I asked him, how's it going? Well, I spent my money, so it's just a foundation there. And you know how much you value your house, and I probably take it for granted. But I would love just to see him, a guy who's 28 years, they preached to millions of people and still feels bad because he didn't do more and has sacrificed house and comfort for 28 years. We are going to build a link with him. I'd like to send a message to him today. And if you're able to, I'd like you to before you leave here, to speak to him and go give him a good Pentecostal handshake. If you don't know what that means, shake his hand and you have money in your hand. Okay, it works like this, and you go, okay, everybody thinks you're handshaking. You're transferring dough, money, okay? Nobody knows you did it. It's kind of cool. And especially if you receive one, it's kind of a good feeling. Okay? And so some of you could cut him a good sized check. Some of you could say, I'm going to give you $1,000 or I'm going to give you a couple $1,000 toward that house. And you could help him a lot along his way. And then he'd probably think, these people are seriously about connecting with us. Okay? So I hope you...
One last thing. I just wanted to also acknowledge my good friend Alan. Alan and Ann Woodruff. They're hosting me here. And they've been to the Philippines a couple of times. And I really love these people.
Yeah.
And Alan, thank you for having us and coming over to the Philippines so many times. And thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right. Okay. Listen, let's wrap it up. And I know that there's children waiting. And please express when you do go to Sunday school teachers, can you please say you guys are the most fantastic people in the world? I mean that. Don't ever take Sunday school teachers for granted. Ever. Okay? If you can do something nice to them or say something and just say, listen, I know that we've kept you long and can I do something to make your life nicer? Okay? Please don't ever take anybody for granted, but especially Sunday school teachers. So Father, we just want to bring this to a close. We're trying our best to hear your voice and to respond in a way that would make your heart sing. We hope we've done a little bit of that this morning, because that would make us very happy in turn. Now may the love of God, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.